Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Raising Saints, an AM 820 production designed for parents who desire to raise the saints in their life. And now, Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt.
Hello and welcome to Raising Saints, the show for Catholic parents. I'm your host, Katie Wyatt, and you're listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Here on Raising Saints, we talk to teenagers about the topics that matter most, and we invite you, parents, to listen in on our conversations. We hope and pray that in joining us, you'll gain insight, wisdom, and courage to have these conversations with your own kids. We've been asking for your feedback for the past several weeks. We wanted your questions and your topic ideas, and we've decided today to compile some of those questions into one show. So this will be sort of a random collection of questions and topics, but questions that we think our listeners are interested in. So joining me today are three teenagers who have all of the answers to all of your questions. Aren't we blessed? So go ahead and tell us your name and where you go to school.
I'm Zach, and I'm a junior at Olentangy High School.
I'm Caitlin, and I'm a junior at Bishop Watterson.
I'm Maureen, and I'm a junior at Dublin Kaufman.
Okay, so first question that parents are dying to know. They can't wait to hear your answer. What defines you as a Catholic? What does being a Catholic mean to you?
I think when a lot of people think of like Catholic, they think of just church and like, oh, I have to agree with all the things that the church says. But I think of like being a good person and just accepting others and like just trying to live out like what I value the most in my everyday life.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's definitely an important part of being Catholic, being a Catholic Christian. And I think like most all Christians would agree that, you know, we need to be Christ-like for others, which is definitely, you know, an important facet of being Roman Catholic. And it's also things in addition to that. You know, we accept like church doctrine. Christ died for our sins and he's eternally present in the Eucharist, I think, is obviously like one of the major things that makes us stand out. And, you know, I truly believe that. And I don't think it's just like a metaphor or representation, which I know that a lot of my other friends think. And then I also think it's important to recognize that there's a greater purpose in life than just existence. That's one of the main reasons that I believe in God, is because we aren't just sent here to walk around, live our lives, and then be done. I think that, you know, we were created for something special.
I've heard the expression, you can't be lazy in your faith. And I've really tried to take that to heart and to show to others I'm Catholic without like saying, oh, yeah, I'm Catholic, I go to church, like basically like bragging about going to Mass and stuff, but more or less just go out and do what the church says and then let others know just by your actions.
Have you guys always been so strong in your faith?
No.
No, not at all.
No? Was there a turning point? What happened to get you to where you are, or what has been happening, if it's been a gradual process?
Well, for me, it started in eighth grade when our youth minister, Tina, had me come to lock-in, and then I didn't really know anyone, but then she like introduced me to people, and then after that, I didn't really come to much, and then last year is really when my faith journey skyrocketed, and when I really started going to youth group, I started believing everything in Mass, and what I didn't know or the truths that I didn't think about, I went and researched them and, I don't know, I guess found them out.
So you found yourself in a strong community of peers, really, a strong
right.
Catholic community, and then you took the extra step to learn more about what you were hearing and what you maybe weren't understanding.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, I would hear, like, the homilies and stuff, and I wouldn't really fully get them, but after I looked up stuff about, like, what Catholics believe and went to more talks and, like, NCYC, CYSC, like, people who know what they're talking about, just hearing them give a different perspective made me believe it and like it even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think definitely seeing how people are so strong in their faith has helped me. I know for me it took hitting, like, rock bottom. I went through, like, a period in my life where I was, like, really depressed and upset and just, like, felt like life was just too much to handle and stuff. And so I really hit rock bottom and felt like God didn't even exist. I was like, oh, well, how could God be putting me through all this? So then I really started going to youth group and really had found people that helped me in my faith journey that have helped, like, show me who God is. And
who convinced you to start going to youth group?
Well, the first time my mom made me go, I didn't want to go to youth group at all. I was like, I'm not going. That's dumb. That's where all the church Catholics go. Like,
that's where all the churchy kids.
That's where those Jesus
freaks are. Hang around those churchy kids.
I feel like that's seriously like one of the best things that parents can do. That I know that there will be a lot of kids, if they're listening, who are going to say, no, don't say that. But in all seriousness, just to have your child go for one or two and have them, you know, really try actively to, like, participate and make friends, because in all the youth groups that I've experienced, you know, they're very open, and it really strengthens your faith like nothing else does. And I think that, you know, like, throughout my life, you know, I've always been strong in my faith. Obviously, when I was 5 years old, I was not the kind of Catholic that I am now. But, you know, I think it all starts in the home. My parents set a great example for me. And then for a long time, I think I was a self-Catholic. Like, it's difficult to describe it. I didn't really acknowledge, like, the community aspect, like, or I didn't know of it.
You were a
private Catholic. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't something, you know, that I really talked about a lot, even though I went to a Catholic school for 7 years before I switched to public school. It just seemed like something, you know, that, you know, it's just a part of my life, and I didn't really acknowledge, you know, the universal, the Catholic, lowercase c Catholic part of our faith in our church. And youth group really helps you see, and going to NCYC, which all three of us apparently have got.
National Catholic Youth
yes,
Conference.
That was so cool. Yeah, really one of the most incredible faith experiences I've ever had.
Well, here's another question. So you all three have praised your youth groups, but we have a question, which is, the youth program at our church isn't very good, and my son isn't interested in going to a different youth group. Any suggestions?
Oops.
So, National Catholic Youth Conference, you would recommend?
Oh, the youth rally is coming up. Yeah, I would definitely recommend that. I've gone before, and it's kind of like a miniature NCYC kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. There's like speakers and other people. It's kind of cool to see how, like, so many teenagers come together, and it's like, oh, all these teenagers are here for the same thing. Like, whoa, God must be pretty cool.
So anything that parents can encourage their kids to do that's a solid Catholic youth program where they're going to get... Zach, I know you've done Catholic Youth Summer Camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have either of you done that? Caitlin
no,
and Maureen?
But I've heard that. It's been really great.
That's another good one.
Yeah, it's a great experience. Not only do you do a lot of fun stuff like jet skiing, rock wall climbing, mountain biking, you also do daily mass. You do prayer lab, which is 30 minutes. You learn different ways to pray. So it just increases your overall aspects.
And kids are into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. it's true. It's amazing, but it's true.
I also think, like, service, even if you can encourage them to get involved in service. I know when I started getting involved in service is really when I started seeing God through other people. And I think service can definitely help if he doesn't want to go to a youth group.
And also you realize that it isn't all about yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a way bigger picture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's just important for parents to keep in mind that you should definitely encourage it, but don't turn it into, like, a sort of punishment kind of thing, because I know that I've had friends who have had that done before. Like, you know, I didn't do my homework on Wednesday, so my parents are making me go to youth group.
Oh, no!
And that is definitely not a good idea, because then they come with the attitude, you know, I'm not going to make friends because my parents sent me here. So it definitely should not be a negative thing. And if he really doesn't want to go, then I'm not sure that there is much you can do about that other than, you know, pray that he'll find his own way through his own faith formation. And, you know, he will find his own niche with solid Catholics that you can find in a youth group or at school or in other places.
The first time you all went to youth group, did you go with a friend or did you go by yourself?
I went with a friend.
Mm-hmm. I went by myself.
You
so,
did?
Yes,
how
that
brave.
Was definitely,
That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. So I think It's been interesting for me because I see it from both sides of the spectrum, people who don't want to be there and people who do. My parents didn't make me go. I wanted to go. But for the first year, my freshman year, I wasn't very, I don't want to say open, but, you know, I just wasn't very aware of, you know, putting myself out there and making friends. And that's not even so much a thing at youth group as maybe it is just like a life trait. And I think, you know, through being at youth group for so long, you know, I've learned that you need to put yourself out there too and be open to sharing and being vulnerable, because that's a big part of getting to know people is, you know, sharing your weaknesses. And
did you feel welcome right when you went, or did you have to go a few times to your youth group to really start to feel comfortable? And
I definitely felt welcome because I think at most youth groups, whenever somebody walks in, there will always be like 20 people who at least say like, hello, hi, how are you? How are you? It took me a long time to get past like that superficial kind of relationship or just like a hi, how are you? I'm good. How are you?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But one thing that, you know, really helped me was the overnight retreats that my youth group does. I know that a lot of them do. A lot of others do, too, because that's really great where you can do like maybe regular or secular things mixed with faith. And that really helps, you know, to build strong relationships that, you know, I wouldn't have experienced without going to youth group.
Yeah, I also think keeping an open mind is really important because I know I went in there and I was like, I'm going to hate this. Why am I doing this? Like, and then I was like, oh, everyone here is fake. I can't stand it. And then
what made you think that? You just couldn't fathom
because everyone was like so nice. And I was like, there's no way that everyone is this nice.
There's no way people can be nice.
Right.
Wow, that's so sad.
And so then like when I finally like found, like, came in with an open mind, then I started really, like, opening up and really starting to form relationships with people, and that's when I really became stronger in my faith.
How long did that take before you decided, okay, these people aren't really fake, and this is somewhere where I really belong?
Well, it took me quite a few times. I mean, it took me, like, 4 weeks. I went, like, every week, and then I was like, oh, this isn't that bad. And then I went on the overnight retreat, and that was really awesome, so
I think spending extended time with people is definitely, like, the best way to really get to know people. And
right, for better or for worse.
Really,
right.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Zach, that lock-in that you went to at St. John Newman, did you go by yourself or did you go with a friend?
Yeah, I went by myself. And when I first walked in, I was, like, just standing off by myself in a corner, like, all right, everyone else knows each other, so this is weird. I don't know anyone here. I mean, I went to, like, confirmation and stuff with some people, and they were in my confirmation class. So I knew them, but I didn't, like, know them on a personal level. And then Travis Birch came up to me, who's now the youth minister at St. Matthew's, and he was just, like, really upbeat, outgoing, had a great attitude. And I was like, yeah, and I felt just, like, really short with my answers. And then he just introduced me to people. So, yeah, it took me a few times.
See, I think that's really good for parents to hear. Yeah, because kids will go once and say, it was terrible. I didn't know anybody. I was the only one who doesn't know anybody, which is never true.
Rinse and repeat.
Yeah. Rinse and repeat. Well, really go back. Try it again. Yeah. Don't give up. Those are great insights. Thank you for sharing that. We had concerns about media and media influence, and we have a couple questions related to that. One of them is, are there TV shows, books, or movies you would recommend that are relevant and entertaining, but that don't violate your moral code? And I think kind of the deeper question might be, what do you do for entertainment that is acceptable?
I'm never entertained as a Catholic. No, I'm just kidding.
What do you mean what I do for entertainment? I sit home and read my Bible.
Yes, rosary all day, every day. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that, you know, there are a lot of ways that you can, you know, have fun while being Catholic. And in no way are you, like, required to do crazy things or things, you know, that violate your morals by being Catholic. A lot of the times, like, if you do things, you know, with people from your youth group or with people who are, like, of your same mindset and, you know, believe in the things that you believe in, and anything that you guys do together, I feel like, is always something that, you know, I enjoy. And just, like, I know that friends from my youth group and I go to just, like, random Disney movies.
Disney
can always be counted on for family
fun. Frozen was the best. I mean, yeah, you don't have to be doing something crazy. Like, you can just hanging out with friends that have the same morals as you, at, like Maureen said. I mean, you can just have a good time. You don't have to fill yourself with media. And, I mean, there's also a lot of cool faith-based movies coming out.
Yeah,
so,
that's very true.
You know, we were talking about that. I mean, you don't have to, like, go and sit in a church, like, and pray.
Right.
Like,
right.
You can go out and
you can
still
live
have
in
fun.
This world. Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, the movie... Gimme Shelter just came out, and they were promoting that on the March for Life.
Really?
Because it's a really big pro-life movie.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
I haven't seen
That's
it
great.
Yet.
Vanessa Hudgens in it, I think.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, I think it's really cool when they're, like mainstream, like, secular actors. I don't know. I don't think Vanessa Hudgens is Catholic or something. But, you know, that's definitely, like, a good influence to see, like, people, celebrities, people who, you know, are big names, who, you know, are not doing movies that are full of, like, drugs, alcohol, and sex and crazy things. But, you know, that they're, you know, providing wholesome family fun for everyone.
Do you find that when you're with friends who share your values, like, if you are watching a movie or if you see something that is inappropriate, there's sort of this collective understanding that this is offensive, this isn't morally, or are you just never in those situations? I guess what I'm asking is, so if I go to a movie with friends who aren't Christian or who don't share my values and it's an offensive movie, I'm more likely to sit there and just kind of endure it rather than, you know, band together with my friends and say, you guys, let's leave. We shouldn't be watching this.
Yeah, I mean, when you're with, like, friends with the same mindset as you and have the same beliefs and moral values, then you'll definitely all, like, take offense to that. And then maybe you'll do it so much that it'll rub off on your other friends that aren't necessarily Catholic or Christian, and don't have those same moral values.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Raising Saints on AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Katie Wyatt, and we're here with Zach, Caitlin, and Maureen, and we're just sort of answering some random questions that parents have asked that they'd like a teen perspective on, so... We have our teenage experts here giving us their perspective. We were just talking about media. And another question we have is, I don't want my kids to watch the trash that is considered modern entertainment. They assure me that it's okay for them to watch since they know it's wrong. How can I explain to them that they shouldn't be filling their lives with trash? So I think this is a common argument that parents and kids have, like, Mom, I would never do that. You know, I can watch it, but I would never. And a lot of parents say, I don't even want you watching it. Why would? So I don't know. Have you ever had to have that conversation with your parents, or how would you respond to that?
I mean, definitely just watching it fills your mind with it, and then you're thinking about it. So it's not so much that you have to do it, but just the thought of it in your mind isn't necessarily good, because then you're thinking about sin, and you don't want to put yourself in situations where you might sin.
Yeah, going off of that, it does, like, fill your mind with those thoughts, and it kind of goes along with the saying, like, watch your thoughts, they become words, watch your words, they become actions, watch your actions, they become who you are. And, like, so I think when, like, facing those situations, like, if you keep that in mind, like, you don't have to fill yourself with those negative thoughts and stuff.
Yeah, I think also, like, this can apply to, like, if you're watching something inappropriate or something just stupid. Sometimes, like, I'll just ask myself, do I feel like a child of God watching this right now? Because sometimes, like, I'll be watching, like, YouTube videos or something that are either really just stupid and, like, they're not even very funny, and I'm not sure why I'm wasting my time on them. Or they could be something that's, like, inappropriate and doesn't go with my morals. But it's like, why am I watching this right now? Am I getting something out of it? Could I be watching something better that, you know, would still, you know, de-stress me and, you know, I would still be entertained?
I also, as a parent and as a youth minister, I always challenge kids. That's fine. You can watch as much TV as you want. You can be on the internet as much as you want. But you have to counter it with the exact same amount of time spent in prayer or in study of scripture. Because why should we spend more time being entertained by stupid or offensive or, you know, whatever, than we do building our relationship with
them? Yeah, I think that's really true. And after the retreat that we had this year at my youth group, I was big into Candy Crush. It's an app on iPads and iPhones. And I, like, it was ridiculous how much time I was spending on there. So I said, okay, you know, I can continue spending this much time on Candy Crush, but, like, I'm going to, like, say the rosary, be in prayer before I go to bed for as long as I'm playing Candy Crush for. And that really cut down on my time. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But, you know, I can keep it to, like, 20 minutes or under now because not because prayer is a punishment. But, yeah, I just think it's really put into perspective. Like, I'm, you know, giving 20 minutes of my time to this screen here. And if, you know, it wasn't pixelated and it didn't have light, then it would just be blank and there would be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just so temporary. And why am I not spending that time with God? I think it's a trap that, you know, everyone falls into, and, you know, it's just a part of being human, but definitely something that, you know, needs to be taken in moderation.
I should do that with Flappy Bird.
Yeah, I was just thinking
Flappy
that.
Flappy Bird is also an
I was
issue.
Thinking about that the other day. I was playing Words with Friends, which requires a lot of thought and concentration and a lot, you know.
Right.
And I was thinking, I don't feel like reading my Bible right now. It requires too much thought. And I'm like, what? That is so lame. Like, Words with Friend requires tons of thought, you know?
Yeah. I think Flappy Bird is the epitome of a game that does not take any thought at all.
Flappy Bird.
I can feel my brain rotting away.
I mean, even it's just called Flappy Bird. Okay, here's a question about the confirmation process, which I know is a lot of times a struggle for parents and their kids. Did you enjoy your confirmation process? And if so, why? If not, why are you still involved in the church? This is a multi-part question. And how can I get my kid not to fight me about getting confirmed?
For me, I was just kind of neutral on it. Like, I went to it because I knew it would be good for me. Whenever they did talks, or when we heard Jason Everett's purity talk, or when we watched it, because we watched, like, a video on it, I knew that it was good for me, and I knew I was filling my head with, like, prayerful thoughts, but I didn't necessarily enjoy going to it all the time, mainly because I wasn't as involved as I am now. Now I love going to youth group, and I wish I had loved it that much when I was in eighth grade, because I would have started a lot earlier going to youth group.
So you didn't love it, but you stayed involved, and that's because Tina Birch just invited you, right? Just
Tina kept
you.
Stalking me, so I felt the need to go.
She's pretty effective.
She's very effective with her ways.
Oh no, here she comes. Just tell her, just hand her your form. Tell her you'll be there. Caitlin, did you enjoy your confirmation process?
Well, I feel like I kind of just went through the motions. I didn't really get much out of it. And I feel like I wish I did, just kind of to realize that God was there for me, because I would have started that relationship earlier.
Did you go through the process in school? Were you in a Catholic school?
Yeah,
at the time?
I've been in Catholic school since first grade.
So your mindset might have been, this is just part of
school.
Yeah,
it was just part of like, we talked about it during school. We had religion class. We always talked about confirmation for, like, 3 months. And I was like, okay, when is this going to be over?
Just check the box. That's what my friend said.
Check the box.
Just check the box.
Huh. Okay. What about you, Maureen?
You know, I don't think I was neutral about it. You know, I enjoyed the process. I went to a Catholic school through 7th grade and then in 8th grade. And still now I'm in a public school. So 8th grade was my first year in the religious ed program. And I think that, you know, religious ed depends on, you know, where you're taking it and how they teach it. And it really depends on, like, your teacher, too, because I know a lot of my classmates who are in my religious ed class in 8th grade are no longer even involved in the church at all or in youth group or anything like that, just because they didn't feel like it was something that, you know, they belonged to, or they, like, that they...
Of those kids, was the faith reinforced in their homes?
No.
Okay.
I would definitely say you see that a lot more stereotypically in religious ed than you do in a Catholic school. I think maybe it might just be that, you know, the parents went through the motions of getting confirmation, and so their kids need to do it too. I don't know. It's definitely a tough spot to be in when you're that parent who has a child who doesn't want to get confirmed. Because if they're that serious about it, you know, I'm not sure, you know, should they get confirmed? You know, that would be better post, like, a bishop or something. But, you know, I know that, you know, we had to, like, write a paper about why we wanted to be confirmed. And we had to demonstrate to our pastor that this was something that we believed in and we wanted to do. So if you don't believe that, I think that you might need to give it some more thought before you just check the box.
And eighth grade, what a tough age to make decision. Yeah.
Yeah.
So much else going on that you'd rather be doing.
Yeah.
That, I know that's a struggle for a lot of parents. Like, how do I get my kid to want to be there? But none of you particularly wanted to be in your confirmation program, yet here you all still are, right?
Yeah.
So that's great. That's great news. Right. That's very encouraging for parents. I'm trying to, we have so many more questions. I'm just trying to find one that we can cover in the last like minute and a half minute that we have. And I don't think there is one that we can get into. So I don't know, any wrap-up thoughts about any of the topics we've talked about?
I think, you know, just the fact like parents are asking questions like, how can I be a better parent, you know, should be really heartening for them and for their kids. And, you know, if you're worried about something or like, am I doing something right? It's just important that your kids know that you care, because a lot of kids feel like their parents don't. And I think that's something, you know, that is really important that needs to be reinforced in today's world, just knowing that you have those people behind you.
And imparting that to our children lovingly rather than in a nagging fashion, which is not always easy to do. So, well, parents, we really appreciate that you give input and that we can respond to your questions. If you have others, please keep sending them to info@stgabrielradio.com, stgabrielradio.com. We would love to hear what your concerns and questions are. Let's close in prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the precious gift of our children. We thank you for the resources and tools and people that you send into our lives to help us as we try, as we journey in our quest to raise saints. We ask that you remain with us always and help us to be aware of your presence. And we ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Raising Saints on AM 820, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Katie Wyatt, and until next time, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bye now.
Raising Saints is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt are available at stgabrielradio.com.